What's up? This is Movies on Up. Hell hath no pizza. I am Dave, joined by my co-host Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Our
tagline for this week
is
hell.
God damn it!
The bill to your Ted, so to speak.
Don't give it away.
Son of a bitch!
I'm gonna start over.
That's gonna be the cold open.
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Hell hath no pizza. I'm Dave, joined by my co-host Ryan.
Hey, what's up?
The angel to my white light. The, I don't know.
Bill to your Ted.
The breathe to my CPR. I don't know. The clear to my... That's the
defibrillator. Yep.
We are Movies on Up. Our tagline this week is Hell Hath No Pizza. If you know what movie that's from, let us know. Moviesonup@gmail.com.
Don't bother, because I've already won the tagline contest.
Moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, twitter@moviesonup. If you know what movie that's from and you are correct, you will win our excellent Movies on Up prize package. If you do not know, that's very bogus.
The prize package may include some pizza, just in case you end up going to hell.
But
pizza with you.
We are Movies on Up. This week, it's one of those lists that I just kind of made up. But when I got to doing it, it's a lot easier to do than I thought it was. It's our favorite life after death movies. Probably because some movies. Oh, yeah, that Chloe Moretz movie is coming out this week.
If I Stay?
If I Stay, where she gets in a car crash and has to decide, does she die with her parents or come back to live with her boyfriend? Typical Chloe's choice. So
right. I mean, we all get that choice, right?
So I thought, hey, well, let's do movies about, you know, where a character dies and then it's them after life. Or after death, so.
Or after life, that works too.
Yeah, so I mean, I think you were hesitant about this list at
first.
Oh,
I hated you hardcore for making me do this
list.
But
when you started to do it, it got easy, right?
Yeah, it did. It did. In fairness, I kind of like doing the list.
It was fun, because there's a lot of different ways you went, and I think.
No, there's really only one way I went. It's character dies, and
most of
story
mine
unfolds.
Most of mine are a little different. There's different approaches to it. And just to get it out of the way, my number one would be Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, but I was not allowed to put it on my list. So when I get to number one, don't yell at me for not having Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. We all know that's the best life after death movie.
You were allowed. I mean,
you would have yelled at me.
No, I mean, I let you put Gremlins on every list we do. And
that's actually my new number one. But anyways, our favorite life after death movies. Ryan, what is your number five?
I have a couple movies on this list.
I hope you have at least five.
I have five, but at least a couple that we have never talked about in the history of Movies on Up, which I think after, I don't know, we just checked 170 some odd episodes. It's getting to be a lot of movies. We've talked about at least 170 movies, and I think I've only seen about 175, and we're going to be really scraping the bottom of the barrel. But my number five is one of these movies, and it's one of the last ones I thought of, and I can't say that I've seen it as an adult, but the idea of death when you're a kid is pretty alien to you, hopefully. And one of the things that I think parents do to teach kids about death is buy your kids a dog. How do you prepare your kid for when the dog croaks? I got the answer. Watch this movie, 1989's All Dogs Go to Heaven, directed by Don Bluth, Gary Goldman, Dan Kuessner.
That is not where I thought you were going with this movie.
Yeah, there were a couple dead dog movies that you could go. Several. That could be its own list. But I actually like this one, starring the voice of Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise, and Judith Barcy. Burt Reynolds plays Charlie B. Barkin, who gets whacked by his rival dog. There's kind of a mafioso element to the beginning of this movie. And essentially, this movie is about canine revenge. It's a revenge flick, but it's also a life after death movie, because after the main character dies, he does talk his way back to Earth so that he can exact his doggy revenge on, I forget the name of the other dog that killed him. It's irrelevant. Don't see much of the afterlife, as you know, Charlie really only spends a little bit of time there, but you do see some pretty crazy dreams of hell. Keep in mind, this is a kid's movie. So you have a dog that gets murdered right out of the chute. His primary driving force in the movie is to get revenge on the dog that killed him, knowing full well that by doing this, he's damned his doggy soul to hell. So he's got these dreams throughout the rest of the movie, terrifying dreams of hell. But I do love the end of the movie. It shows, I mean, I don't want to spoil it in case you haven't seen All Dogs Go to Heaven, but real tearjerker where Charlie, throughout the whole movie, does his best to keep that ticker a-ticking and not have to go back to hell, but you know, he makes a very noble sacrifice. And I remember this movie, I don't, at the time, it may have been like the saddest thing that I had ever seen. I believe it was before I saw some of the other Dead Dog movies, but I remember liking it an awful lot. And it's, I've never wanted a dog in my life, but if I could have a dog with the voice of Burt Reynolds, I might reconsider.
You may have also seen the sequel, Dead Dogs 2, and the third one, Dead Dogs Christmas Carol.
No, I stopped at Dead Dogs 1. That was enough for me.
My number five, it's a movie that...
How many dead dogs are in your number five?
None.
No, it sucks.
It's a movie that... there were others I could have put on the list, but it's a movie that I just watched recently. It's on demand right now. From 2014, directed by Jeff Baena, starring Aubrey Plaza, Dane DeHaan. It is Life After Beth. Just watched it, so I wanted to talk about it, and I doubt it'll make my year-end list, so this would be my only chance. It's a different take on a zombie movie, much like Warm Bodies was. It's like a zom-com, which seemed
good
to be...
Good thing that's not on my list.
Huh?
Good thing that's not on my list.
Yeah, it's not on mine. I this is the only zombie one I went with, because it's not really... It's not your traditional zombie movie. It's, you know, Aubrey Plaza's character goes out on a hike by herself, dies from a snake bite. Dane DeHaan's crushed. Turns out her parents are hiding her because she's come back, but she now has anger issues, and she's really confused about everything. It's an interesting movie. Dane DeHaan's pretty good in it. Aubrey Plaza is really good. I liked it almost as much as I wanted to like The Hand Job when it came out. Or what
the To-Do List?
The To-Do List, yeah. They changed the title of that.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wanted to like that movie a lot more. I thought it was going to, you know, skyrocket Aubrey Plaza to be like headlining whatever movie she wanted. Kind of flatlined that performance.
Kind of a walking corpse in that one.
Yeah, so she was allowed to be in Life After Beth, and she was good. The range from, you know, confused girlfriend to just angry zombie is really good. That Gruber dude was pretty good as the brother. Anna Kendrick's barely even worth mentioning, which I'll never say ever again, but she's in it for 2 minutes. Spoiler alert.
The best 2 minutes of the movie.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's a different take. Like, Dane DeHaan's good. John C. Reilly and Molly Shannon as her parents is really good. It's just a weird, unique take on a zombie movie that, I mean, it was unique enough. I really did like it. I think I like it more now than I would think I liked it when I first mentioned it, like 30 seconds ago. Like, I talking about it reminds me.
You've convinced yourself.
That I did like it a little bit more than I thought. The Paul Reiser's in it is pretty good. But so, I mean, it's an interesting one, and it's the last zombie one on my list for now, kind of, sort of.
I don't think that I have any zombie movies on my list. Although my number four may not belong on the list. It may. I guess it just depends on your perspective. It is from a director whose name I cannot even begin to fathom how one might pronounce. So I will just say that it stars three folks whose name that I can pronounce. That is Justin Long, Liam Neeson, and Christina Ricci in 2009's Afterlife. This one has to work because the name of the movie is in the title of our list. So based solely on that, it works. The thing is, even after a horrific car wreck right at the top, you're not sure that Christina Ricci's Anna is actually dead, despite the insistence from Liam Neeson's funeral director. Yeah, no, you're dead. Trust me. You're dead, and I see and talk to dead people, and I'm going to help you make your transition from alive girl to dead girl. There's a bunch of is she or isn't she moments throughout the course of the movie that I don't think it's obvious one way or the other how the movie's actually going to end. if you need maybe some prodding to get through a movie featuring Justin Long, Christina Ricci gives you a couple in this movie. It's worth seeing. I just kind of watched this. It's one of those streaming things on Netflix that, you know, some afternoon you've really got nothing else to do because I don't have kids. Free time happens to me on occasion. And I just kind of flicked on this movie and was like, well, what the hell? I don't know what it's about. I don't care. And it was a pretty decent waste of time. And I like the fact that I have some pretty different depictions of the afterlife. This one, the afterlife, you're laying on a table in a mortuary, kind of like purgatory. I don't have another depiction of purgatory. So the best I can do is Liam Neeson's table in his basement.
My number four is a little different. It's not so much living after death. It's dying and then coming back to still be living. It is Joel Schumacher from 1990, Flatliners. Kiefer Sutherland, Julia Roberts, Kevin Bacon, Billy Baldwin, Oliver Platt, a bunch of young college students that learn how to die and then come back. And, you know, what they see when they die may not be the best thing for them. Really, really good movie. I still love this to this day. I loved it when I saw it. I would have been around 11, and I loved it. I loved the idea of it. And then watching it now, it's like, oh, it's a pretty creepy movie. I mean, it's a Kiefer Sutherland storyline is creepy. Billy Baldwin's just a creep. Kevin Bacon, it's really good because it does kind of, it's a different plot. Like, okay, these kids can experience the afterlife and maybe it's not that good. So then they got to go and fix what they did wrong. And I really like it. Like, there was talk a few years ago of maybe a remake happening, which I think it would be dumbed down too much now to the point if they did it, because it doesn't hold anything back. These guys weren't superstars at the time. They were all relative, you know, they were all big-ish names, but they weren't, you know, knocked down superstars at the time. But it's such a well-acted movie because it's a very good cast. It was such a unique premise, and it was executed great. I don't say a lot of good things about Joel Schumacher, but I'll forever love this movie. And I just, from the idea to the execution to the acting, everything about it still gives me chills. It's still a creepy, creepy movie, but I really, really like Flatliners.
My number three. I don't have a lot of movies on this list that I would describe as a lot of fun, per se, and maybe that's just because the way my brain went. But when I think about movies and after death, I couldn't not have a ghost movie on here, and there are several that I like. None that I like more than Peter Jackson's The Frighteners from 1996, starring Michael J. Fox, Trini Alvarado, and Jeffrey Combs. It is an awful lot of fun. It was one of the first Peter Jackson movies that I really saw. And at the time, he had made quite a few films over in New Zealand that, you know, as a 10, 12-year-old, I didn't really have access to. Hadn't seen Dead Alive at that point.
You missed Bad Taste.
Would have loved it. Hate Bad Taste. To this day, I hate Bad Taste. But I did love Michael J. Fox. I mean, from, you know, Back to the Future, from Teen Wolf. Those are some of my favorite movies of all time. So the fact that he was headlining this movie, I was like, yeah, I want to see this. And it really did have sort of an Addams Family type feel to it, in that it was macabre but still funny, and the ghosts were played for laughs. And I think that Chai McBride, especially as the like the dead 70s ghost, so good. And just the chemistry that Michael J. Fox had with his ghost buddies, and they became sort of like a con team up until this agent of the Grim Reaper shows up, and he's the only one that can really see and know what's going on. I guess according to this movie, the afterlife is pretty much just like life is here on Earth, except nobody can see you, with the exception of Michael J. Fox. And you can engage in as much mischief as you'd like, as long as there are no vacuum cleaners around. The ghosts were a lot of fun. It seemed like they were sort of plucked out of a cartoon. It did seem very much like this movie was a live-action cartoon. And as I said at the top, it was really the first exposure I had to Jackson's offbeat sense of humor. And I don't know why, because he's made movies now that people are really familiar with. But I think somehow this movie still is underappreciated and people haven't gone back to check it out. It's a great movie. It's more easy to find than Bad Taste or Meet the Feebles. That I feel like that does have like a cult following. I don't know why The Frighteners doesn't, because it's awesome.
It's a great movie, and it's a weird one, though, because it's essentially like three movies where you have Act 1, Act 2, Act 3. They each have a different tone. Like, it goes from lighthearted to just downright horror movie there at some point. And it's really good, but as you're talking, like everything you mentioned, like Chi McBride, to me is the standout. I love this movie. I have fond memories of seeing it in theaters. I remember I saw this alone. I went on a solo double feature by myself, and this was one of them, and I loved it. And when I first got DirecTV, I DVR'd it, and it was one of the first things I DVR'd. Still on there, over a year later, I still have it on there because I still go back to it quite often. Very, very good movie. My number three, this is where I started thinking of different ways to approach the list. Like, I had Life After Beth, which was your zombie. I had Flatliners, which was die and then come back to actual life. So then I thought about, okay, like stuff that came to mind was like RoboCop, which I've talked about that a ton. The Crow was a perfect one. I've talked about The Crow so much on this show. What I don't think I've talked about that's in the vein of those two, though, is 1997's Spawn, starring Michael Jai White, John Leguizamo, based on the Todd McFarlane comic book. I was a Spawn fanboy. When it came out, I loved the idea of the character. I loved the comic. I loved the HBO cartoon. I would stay up late on Friday nights and watch it after Dennis Miller Live. Absolutely loved everything about Spawn. So when this movie came out, I was all for it. And at the time it delivered, I haven't went back to revisit it. I'm kind of scared to, because in my mind, I still have okay memories about Spawn. I saw it multiple times in the theaters. I bought the DVD. Like, I liked this movie a lot. I'm sure the effects are pretty terrible if I were to watch it.
At the time, they were
tremendous.
At
the time, they were great. I'm not a Leguizamo fan, but I thought he was superb as the clown. I thought he was absolutely great. He really went for it. He really committed. Michael Jai White, he does what he does. It was good. Like,
he's a big dude.
Yeah, no, he was good. D.B. Sweeney, whatever, he was there. It brought the Spawn story to life. It had its flaws. Even then, I knew it had its flaws, but something about dying and making a deal with the devil to come back and do his dirty work, I like. And doing a life after death list, I couldn't not have that kind of storyline represented. And there's talk of bringing Spawn back to the big screen, which I would be all for if they went a little darker, because I don't think this one went as dark as it should have.
For something that's inherently dark,
was a light version. It was like Spawn light, especially if you were watching the cartoon that aired at the same time. I mean, that first season was dark. I wish Spawn would have been better, but I still liked it. To this day, if you ask me, I'll say I like Spawn, but whether I do or not, like on another rewatch.
You might lie to somebody. And
I haven't rewatched it. I don't plan to rewatch it. So right now, Spawn is on the good side of my
memories.
To the
best of your knowledge, you like Spawn.
Yeah.
Fair enough. My number two is a movie that I do like. It's not even just to the best of my knowledge. It's something that I like. I feel like it's been a long time since I've gone like legit old school. Here's a movie from 40 years, 30 years before I was born. And it may be a little film nerdy of me, but I can't help it. I do love Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal from 1957, starring Max von Sydow, Gunnar Bjorkstrand, and another guy. Technically, it's not really a life after death movie, because the movie takes place largely when everyone's alive. But I will make the argument that you have this knight, which is played by Max von Sydow, where pretty much from the moment you meet him, death shows up, like the personification of death. And the knight sees him, and he's like, ah, damn it, you're here for me, right? And I'm here for you. Come on, let's go. And he basically, not unlike Spawn, I guess, strikes a deal with death to be able, all the guy wants to do is just go home and see his family one more time before he dies. So in order to do this, he cooks up this scheme to play chess with death and prolong the game just long enough for him to be able to get home. So I guess from the very moment we meet the character, technically he is dead. Dead man walking, and the rest of his life, so to speak, is, I guess, a life after death. The movie's set during the Black Death as it kind of ravaged its way through Europe. And you kind of get to see at least Ingmar Bergman's guess of how people dealt with death at the time. And there's a lot of different ways to die then. I mean, you talk about the Crusades, a lot of folks died there by the old sword, but then, you know, a lot of people just died trying to live their life. So the specter of death was really hanging over everyone, but literally hanging over the knight in this one. I love the movie. It's a slow burn, I'm not going to lie. It's subtitled, which is going to turn a lot of people off. And at the end, I mean, the outcome is as inevitable as you can get. At no point in the movie do you really have any kind of hope for this character that, I don't know, he's going to win, he's going to beat death, he's going to cheat death. But I just love the way that the characters, the different ways that you can look at death. Not that that's a great thing to do, but I think it's a really kick-ass movie.
My number two is one of those relatable stories where it's just the typical, you know, everybody has that day where you die across on the street, get reincarnated as somebody else. 20-some years later, you fall in love with a woman, only to realize that, oh, that's your daughter from your previous life, and you're still in love with your wife. That's what happened to Robert Downey Jr. in 1989's Chances Are. I mean, you talk about a different kind of romantic comedy. That's kind of a setup. That's not your traditional A plus B, traditional romantic comedy setup. It's a weird movie. Because the whole point is he comes back, he falls in love with a girl. Not till he meets her mom that he starts to have flashbacks to his past life and realizes, oh, Sybil Shepherd, that's his wife. Oh, this girl he's with, that's his daughter that he's falling in love with. So it's kind of
which would make sense, right?
Yeah. So it's a weird choice you got to make. Do I want to, you know, sleep with my girlfriend's mom, who is my wife, or sleep with my girlfriend, who is my daughter? But when there's Sybil Shepherd and Mary Stuart Masterson, it's kind of win-win, whatever you do. So, you know, stop whining, Robert Downey Jr. You're doing okay. When a romantic comedy wants to come out and do something different and unique, I'm all for it. I understand the need for the genre. And in 1989, Robert Downey Jr. was just a treat to watch. He is now, too, but this is before the 15 years of of train wreck. But 1989, Robert Downey Jr. is something that, if you haven't watched it, or it's been a while since you've watched his older stuff, just watch the charm and the charisma that he brings to the screen. Phenomenal performance. And for such a weird role, he makes it work. And, you know, it's the only reincarnation movie that I have on my list.
I feel like rom-coms, maybe there's a couple that you could think of that have that sort of...
There was that Paul Rudd one with Lake Bell and Eva Longoria that was just terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking like... And maybe not even just the rom-coms, but even just straight up like romantic type movies. I guess that aspect of death not being able to separate some folks is rather popular. I don't think it's really going to make either of our lists. But my number one is sort of a romantic comedy. I mean, it's a comedy, first and foremost, but there is a pretty good romance that builds between Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks in 1991's Defending Your Life. Directed by Albert Brooks as well, also starring Rip Torn. This might be one of my biggest regrets about the podcast, as we've talked for about 2 years, and at no point have we ever mentioned Defending Your Life. I never really got into Woody Allen, but I feel like it's okay because I like Albert Brooks, who's like the West Coast Woody Allen. The characters that they play in their movies are pretty similar. Very stereotypically Jewish, I guess. But one of the things that I love most about this movie, especially as it pertains to this list, pretty much everything that we've talked about to this point involves characters in some way, shape, or form trying to make it back to life, trying to live again. In this movie, Brooks is trying to defend the decisions that he's made during his life so that he doesn't have to return to Earth and leave the lovely Meryl Streep in heaven. Basically, the premise of the movie is when we die, you have to go and basically, in front of a jury, argue that you lived a good life. If it's deemed that you didn't take enough chances or you didn't do enough, then there's that element of reincarnation where you have to go down and do it as many times as it takes to get it right, which is not necessarily an alien idea to a few religions. But the way that Brooks puts it forth, like heaven is some sort of like middle management hell, that it just seems like such a bureaucracy, but a place you don't want to leave. You can eat whatever you want. You don't gain any weight. I think that nowadays, especially, I mean, this movie came out in 1991. So it's, I mean, sure, it's dated, but it's not like it's ancient. Today, we've got a crop of folks that are growing up thinking that the only way that you can be funny is if you make a Judd Apatow or Todd Phillips movie. Like, that's the epitome of humor, and that's the only way that you can do it. I feel like we'd live in a much better world if more people saw Defending Your Life and got it and realized that this movie is really funny, and it doesn't have to have a bunch of F-bombs. I like F-bombs as much as the next guy. I use them. I love them. But I really, really love Defending Your Life. It is a tremendous movie, and I don't know how I haven't managed to work it onto a list yet.
It was in my also-rans. It was hard to leave off. I feel like it's been talked about, but probably not. I don't know where it would have
been. I know
been.
I haven't talked about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I do enjoy this movie. I'm glad I made your list because it ended up getting cut off of mine. But my number one, I teased last week with our Robin Williams episode. It is a Robin Williams movie from 1998, directed by Vincent Ward, What Dreams May Come. When I first thought a life after death movie, this is the first one that came to mind, because you have Robin Williams dies in a car crash. Things are great in heaven for him. Like, it's like, oh, this would be a good life. Like, I could get behind. This is what we have to wait for. Like, whatever. I'm okay with that. But then his wife, Annabelle Sciorra, kills herself and has to go to Hades instead of heaven. So he risks it all to go find her. Beautiful movie. Everything
got nominated for like best visual effects. Or
great, great looking movie. Robin Williams. I mean, we raved so much about Robin Williams last week that everything right about Robin Williams is in this movie. You get the compassion, you get the empathy. Like, you want him to find his wife. Cuba Gooding Jr. as his kind of tour guide. Max von Sydow is I think he was called the searcher or something, the tracker. Very, very cool movie, because it was, when it was supposed to be beautiful, it was heavenly. It was beautiful. When it wasn't, it was dark. It was scary. And the whole story behind it, the risking everything to go and find your loved one with little chance of bringing her back. Like, would you rather eternity in hell with your loved one or, you know, eternity alone in heaven? It's a really good love story. It's a really, again, visually beautiful movie. And Cuba Gooding and Robin Williams are just worth watching alone. Like, if nothing else but the scenery and the performances, it's a fantastic movie. And there was no way this wasn't going to be my number one. I love this movie. It would have been higher on my list in the Robin Williams episode if I didn't know we were doing this episode. It's such a good movie that I absolutely love it. And it holds up. Like, it's still what looked beautiful then, like, still looks great. It was Spawn. You know, visually, it was cooler in 97 than it is now. This still looks great. And just a very, very good movie. And when I thought of Life After Death movies, this was without a doubt my number one.
I feel like there was one that I left off because it's been number one on several lists before. And a list not too long ago, but the first one for me that pops into mind, Life After Death movies, is Beetlejuice.
I had Beetlejuice on it, but then it's like, oh, that was our Haunted House
movie. Yeah, it's one of those that you know, we say it a lot, that we try and leave off ridiculously obvious ones. Sometimes we do a better job than others. I mean, I think this list we did a really good job of leaving that off because it is a movie that we both love so much. And I like the fact that it's, you know, life after death for Beetlejuice and for the
Gina
normal
Davis
folks,
and
yeah.
Alec Nolte. I had Beetlejuice. Ghost is one that I didn't know if you would go to.
You should really, at this point, know me much better than that.
I mean, it's a good movie. And everything I said about Chances Are, where if you're a romantic, I mean, that wasn't a comedy, but
right,
it was a love story that went a different way.
I mean, that's the one, I guess, specifically I was referencing during.
I mean, Ghost is a solid movie. Say what you will. Like, you know, I left it off, but it did lead me to Chances Are, because Chances Are was kind of off my radar. Until I thought of Ghost. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey was on there. The Lovely Bones.
Yeah.
I like The Lovely Bones a lot. Like, it kind of, another Peter Jackson joint that, you know, I don't feel like it got the fanfare that people expected it to be, because that was his Lord of the Rings follow-up, but introduced us to Saoirse Ronan, which, you know, gave us a great Stanley Tucci performance.
That's the thing for me, is as much as I like that movie, yeah, I mean, I love Stanley Tucci in that movie, and that's why I like it as much as I do.
Yeah, but I feel we teased it, I think, I don't know if we teased it in an episode, but I told, it was my example to you about a life after death movie.
I thought it was my example to you.
It might have been.
Whatever.
Spoiler alert, she dies.
Yes.
They came back, Les Revenants, that French one that, also became a show called The Returned. I talked about it on Unusual Zombie Movies, so I left it off. Where I thought you were going with your number five, I didn't write it down until then. Pet Sematary is, as you were leading in, I thought you were going Pet Sematary.
Pet
but
Sematary.
You went All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Yeah. I mean, Frank and Weenie, yeah. I guess, could have belonged on there as well. But.
Pet Sematary 2, two completely different movies. I love them both. And Heart Condition was a late addition because I forgot about it. But I think that made my top five Denzel movies. It was him as a ghost. He's murdered. His heart gets put into racist cop Bob Hoskins' body, and he comes back to bug him to solve his murder. So I know we missed some. We had to have. It's such a wide genre. You can go with it any way you want, any direction you want. So if we missed your favorite Live After Death movie, let us know. moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, and Twitter @moviesonup.
Sure.
Yeah, I think I missed that up. I was staring at the sun. That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with whatever the hell we have planned.
Be back from the death with something great.
Yep. Until then.
Keep it up.